Please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. We'll begin this evening by reading a few words from Deuteronomy 24. There are the two men who are on their way to Emmaus, and Jesus meets them along the way, and he's talking to them. And there's this question and answer, this dialogue that's going on. And in verse 18, Cleopas answering said unto him, that is Jesus, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he, that is Jesus, said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. So they refer to Jesus, this Jesus of Nazareth, in these words, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people. This evening we're going to begin a brief series of sermons on the offices of Christ, and all the children will remember from their catechism that there are three offices, that Jesus is a prophet, Jesus is a priest, and Jesus is a king. And in each of these offices, we have something described about the relationship that Jesus has to us. Each of these three offices refer to something specific about how Jesus relates to his people and to the world in general in some ways upon the earth. And so he is a prophet, he is a priest, and he is a king. So we begin this morning by looking at the prophetic office of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning we're going to look at how that prophetic office is seen in from Genesis to the present time. And then next Wednesday, Lord willing, we'll actually unpack the nature of that office. What is it that Jesus does now in terms of his prophetic office to us and with us, and how do we relate to him in that way? But in many ways, it boils down to this. One of the great needs that all of us have, one of our great needs is to learn. We're born into this world ignorant. We had a baby born into the congregation today. That baby came out of its mother's womb knowing absolutely nothing. There are, of course, things that God builds as those made in the image of God. There are things that are there that as the baby grows, the baby will become more conscious of with time. But the baby has to learn to eat. And the baby has to learn, as it gets bigger, how to sit up. And it'll learn how to play with toys. It'll learn eventually how to eat other types of food. Eventually, the mama and daddy will teach the baby how to say words. And that will continue. And the fact is that we spend our entire life, from the time we're born to the time that we die, we're constantly learning. We're constantly learning. That's part of what it means for us to be a creature. But there's something in that that's even more important. And that is that God has made us, brought us into this world with a desperate need to learn about who God is and to learn about what God requires of us. He brought us into this world needing to know who is God, you know, what is it about us that's wrong with us, how can we be brought into a relationship with him, and to learn all of the other details about his will for us as his creatures. And the way in which we come to learn those things is by God providing a teacher, and specifically a prophet, providing us with Christ as a prophet who ensures that we learn all of the things that we need for our spiritual well-being. We all need a word from heaven. And that's precisely what the Bible calls Jesus. He is called the Word of God. Jesus is that Word from heaven. In the beginning was the Word. That's a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the spokesman of God. And so, you know, one way to think of it is a prophet comes from God to men and women and boys and girls, with a word. As a spokesman, he comes from God and says, this is what God says to you. That's the nature of a prophet. And so Christ comes and he shows us who God is. And he shows us what God says. Now, we're born into this world and we live in a fallen world. And Satan is not dumb. It's not as if his tongue is tied. He is quick to make his word known in the world. And so you have in the garden, there is the devil coming and the serpent. And he says, hath God said? And he's bringing, as I like to say, the pseudo word. God comes and says, Adam, thus and such and thus and such. And no sooner along comes the devil with the pseudo word and says, hath God really said this? And begins to sow seeds of doubt. And so this prophetic office, God coming to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring us the knowledge of God and the knowledge of God's word is absolutely necessary for all of us. So let's look to begin with this week at Christ's prophetic office and how that's seen from Genesis to the present time. First of all, Christ's prophetic office in the Old Testament. Christ's prophetic office in the Old Testament. Children, what is a prophet? When I say the word prophet, what comes to mind? For some of you, you'll think of the major prophets. You'll think of memorizing the books of the Bible. You get to the end of the Old Testament, and you have Isaiah and Jeremiah, and then Ezekiel and Daniel. And they're the big books that are the prophets. And then you have all the little ones that come after that. You know, Moses was a prophet. But for many of us, especially the adults, when we think of prophet, the first thing that comes to mind is someone who predicts the future. We think of someone who predicts the future. A prophet foretells what's going to happen. But the fact is, that's only one little tiny part of what a prophet is. A prophet is really one who comes to speak forth. And so it's more general. A prophet is one who comes to speak forth. And so you can go back to Exodus chapter 7, and there, you know, Moses is struggling with the task that God has given to him. And the Lord says, Aaron will be your prophet, Moses. He'll be the one who speaks for you. In verse 1, and the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. So there's Aaron functioning as a prophet for Moses. A prophet is one who speaks forth, who proclaims something. And one of those things in the Bible is proclaiming what's going to happen in the future, but that's only one thing. So when you think of a prophet, you think of a mouthpiece or an ambassador, maybe one who goes to speak on behalf of another. A prophet in the Old Testament came to deliver God's word. They would come to the Lord's people and they would say, thus saith the Lord. And then a message would follow and the people would know God has spoken to us. This is just like the voice of God coming to us, only through the voice of his spokesman, the prophet. It's as if God is speaking. The passage that we're going to come back to next week is in Deuteronomy chapter 18. But if you look briefly there, you'll see in verse 18 it says, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, speaking of Christ, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth. He shall speak unto them all that I shall command him, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. And so the point is, when a prophet speaks, you're to take it, if it's a true prophet, as the voice of God. Now, all of these prophets, Moses and all of the prophets that we read about in the Old Testament, they were all pointing forward to Christ. They were all pointing forward to the Lord Jesus. And what you need to realize is this, that the second person of the Trinity, the eternal Son, has always been the spokesman of the Godhead. This is the function that the second person of the Trinity has within the Godhead, to be the spokesman of the Godhead. And so this is one of the reasons that he's called the Word in John chapter 1, not only in the opening verses, but later on in verse 14 and so on. And you can see that, if you just look with me for a second, thinking about Christ's prophetic office in the Old Testament, you can go back to creation. When the Bible says, and God said, let there be light, who was it that was speaking? It was the second person of the Godhead. It was the eternal Son that said, let there be light. It was the Son that was speaking. Now you can see this in the scriptures. In John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Or you can go to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, which would be a parallel passage. For by Him, that is Christ, were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible. And so on. Or you can go to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2, where it says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Now in all of these passages, we're reading that Jesus is the one who created the whole expanse. It is Jesus who in Genesis chapter 1 said, let there be light. And by the word of His power, the Son spoke, and all things were brought into existence. It is the second person of the Trinity that has always been the spokesman for the Godhead. You'll remember, those of you who were with us in the book of Judges, we read there about the angel of the Lord appearing. And we did a study within that section and showed how the angel of the Lord is in fact God. The angel of the Lord is the pre-incarnate Son. And so when the angel of the Lord appears to various people like Gideon and others, it is Christ in His pre-incarnate glory. It is the Son that is appearing. And so all of these various theophanies that we have, these various appearances of God in the Old Testament, all of them are in reference to the second person of the Trinity. Now, one of the great examples of this is in Isaiah chapter 6. And if you look there, you'll remember those words. In verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And there's all these angels around Him, and they're crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And you'll remember, it's the text in which Isaiah falls down and says, woe unto me, I'm a man of unclean lips, and so on. So Isaiah is taken up, and he sees the Lord sitting upon a throne. Right? There's a visible manifestation of the Godhead. Who is that? Well, if you go to, turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 12. And verse 39, therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah had said again, he blinded their eyes, hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah, when he saw his glory, and spake of him. The antecedent to the pronouns is Christ. So it's when Isaiah saw Christ in his glory, and spake of him. And so the point is that you can even go back to the Old Testament, not just looking at the human prophets, which pointed forward to Christ. In the Old Testament itself, we see the prophetic office of Christ functioning. Christ is there as the spokesman of God in the Old Testament, bringing His word to the people. And of course, it's also true, as we've alluded to, that it is Christ in His prophetic office that was speaking through His servants, the prophets. So if you go to 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, it says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did testify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So there's the prophetic office of Christ. God, Jesus, in His incarnation, did not for the first time appear on the scene of the universe never to having been heard from previously, and now coming as a great Savior. He came as one who had already been present with his people from the beginning, from creation, as bringing a word from the Godhead to the Lord's people and to the world in all of these various capacities. Well, secondly, we see Christ's prophetic office in the New Testament. Christ's prophetic office in the New Testament. The incarnation itself is a prophetic work. Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, becoming incarnate, is itself part and parcel with that prophetic office. In John chapter 1, in verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Verse 18, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him." And so you see, Christ comes in His incarnate glory, and He comes in order to bring the revelation of the whole God, the whole Godhead, to people, to those that He was sent to. You go to John chapter 14, in verse 9, it says, "Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you?" That Philip is saying, "Show us the Father. Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, Show us the Father?" He came as a revelation, as a word, as one who would bring the knowledge of God to the people through His life and ministry. But we also see His prophetic office in terms of how He revealed God through His works. Through His works. And when we say works, what do we mean? Children, we're talking about what Jesus did. So there's His Word, what Jesus said, and there's His works, what Jesus did. What are some of the works that Jesus did? Well, the first thing we think of is miracles. Jesus healed people that were sick. He cast out demons. He raised the dead. He did all of these miraculous things. And how are they described in John chapter 5, verses 17 and following? "But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill Him, because He not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was His Father, making Himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these things also doeth the Son likewise." And so on. "He will show Him greater works than these, that ye may marvel." The works of Christ were a way of teaching, of communicating who God is, who the Father is, through these miracles. And so you have both the works and the Word identified or connected with one another. You go back to the passage we started with in Luke chapter 24, you see that. Because there, Cleopas is saying, "which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word." Mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. The word and the works are connected. But Jesus' main ministry, what was the main thing Jesus did? While He was here on earth, He healed people, He cast out demons, He raised the dead, He fed the 5,000 and so on. What was the main thing Jesus did while He was here? He taught. He was preaching. His main ministry was teaching the people. The Word that was made flesh came as the prophet of God, the spokesman, the mouthpiece of God, and opened His mouth and spake. He taught the people. And so the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are full of an inspired account of the teaching of Christ, just as the prophets that had gone before. Luke 14, verse 24, "He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." There's this whole perspective. Jesus is coming on behalf of the Father, and He's speaking on behalf of the Father. That's His prophetic ministry. And you know well the words as he gets done preaching the Sermon on the Mount, the very end of chapter 7, says in verses 28 and 29, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. There is a divine authority because he is God. He comes proclaiming his word. You look at Jesus talking to these two men on the road to Emmaus. He's helping them understand the Old Testament. And he's saying, look at the prophets and look at the Psalms. And look at all these various sections of the Old Testament, the law. They all speak of Christ. And so he's exercising a prophetic ministry to show Christ in the Old Testament to them. He describes himself as the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus himself is the truth. And so Christ's prophetic office in the New Testament, all the way, Genesis, through the Old Testament, through the New Testament, he's carrying on this function and bringing a word from heaven and revealing God to us as his people. But then thirdly, Christ's prophetic work in heaven. Christ's prophetic work in heaven. Jesus continues to be a prophet right now. You say to yourself, well, you know, the New Testament scriptures, a lot of them were written after Jesus left. So what about his prophetic ministry? Well, the answer is his prophetic ministry continues after he ascends to heaven. Now present in heaven, he's still our great prophet, the greatest of all prophets. He worked through his apostles. And so in John 14 and in John 16, Jesus says, no worries. When I'm gone, the Spirit will bring to your remembrance all these things. The Spirit will enable you to give a perfect record of what you've seen and what you've heard. And so there was that promise that he would work by his Spirit through the apostles. And so what did they do? The apostles wrote down what Jesus said, what Jesus did. The apostles wrote down how all that Jesus did and all that he said fulfilled the Old Testament. And then they wrote down all of the implications. You know, what does that mean for my life? And what does that mean for what we're to believe? And what does it mean for how we're to live? They fleshed out all the implications under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Gospels tell us what happened, and the Epistles tell us all of the implications of that in working its way out in our lives as Christians and as the church. And so the Scriptures themselves are God's Word, are Christ's Word. You know, sometimes you have a Bible and it has red lettering, right? So you flip to the New Testament and there's these sections that are red. And those are supposed to be the words that Jesus spoke. And everything else is black. But if we have that kind of Bible, we shouldn't make the mistake of thinking that the red letters are more important or more Christ's Word than the black letters. Because from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22, the end of Revelation 22, every single word is the word of Christ, and it's all of equal weight, all of equal importance. Christ speaks to us today in his prophetic ministry through the pages of Holy Scripture. Now, children, maybe you've asked yourself this question. You know, when we open our Bible and we read it, we read about God talking to his people. We read about him doing these miracles in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And then here we are, and God doesn't talk, and he doesn't come in a pillar, and he doesn't send inspired people to talk to us. And we think, well, why is that? And the answer is because he's given us the Bible. Now we have a complete Bible. They didn't have a complete Bible. We have a complete Bible. And so now God speaks to us through this complete, perfect Bible that he's given to us. And so Christ's prophetic ministry is found now while he's in heaven through the pages of Holy Scripture. We read them. And also through the preaching of God's Word. The Lord Jesus, right now, as we're gathered here this evening, is exercising his prophetic office. Whenever the Word of God is faithfully preached, Jesus is relating to us as our prophet. Christ, our prophet, is coming to us through the preaching of his Word. and giving us a word from heaven. So Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Jesus comes as a prophet in the reading and in the preaching of his word, and he relates to us that way. But what's interesting is the prophets could go to the people in the Old Testament, and they would say, "Thus saith the Lord!" And then they would bring this word from heaven. And oftentimes, it was like shooting little spitballs at a huge concrete building. It would hit the wall and fall off. And the prophets would come and say, "Thus saith Jehovah, the Lord God of Israel." And they would give the word, and it would bounce off. The people's hard hearts and their stiff necks wouldn't receive that word at times. But you see, Jesus in his prophetic ministry not only causes the word to be heard so that we can read it, or it goes into our ear through preaching and reading. Jesus in his prophetic ministry takes it through our ear and into our heart, so that Jesus instructs the heart itself, which is far greater than any of the Old Testament prophets could have ever done. So there's Paul preaching away at the riverside in Acts 16, in verse 14, and Lydia, the seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, is there. And it says, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul." That's the prophetic ministry of Christ. He's not only causing the word to go out of Paul's mouth and into the ear of Lydia, but he also sees that it makes it all the way to her heart. He opens her heart to then receive that word into her heart and to be changed by it. And so God gives us, the Lord Jesus gives us a taste for the truth. He enables us to not only hear it and taste it, but he enables us to believe it and then to obey the truth that he gives to us. That's something that no one else other than God himself can do for us. Our hearts are so hard and our minds so dull that unless the Lord Jesus comes as our prophet, along with the power of the Holy Spirit, we would never be able to have an appetite or obey the things that we hear. Now, we've all known people who despise instruction, right? The Bible says that the fool despises instruction. And so, children, there are times when you're tempted. Daddy says, "Let me explain this to you." And you're like, you don't want to listen. You see, we're being a fool. And daddies do that as well sometimes. They don't want to listen. And we're being foolish when we despise instruction. We need to be wise to receive the instruction that God gives to us. Timothy, who was young, is commended for from the time he was a itsy-bitsy, teeny-tiny little child, he was made wise unto salvation by the word of God. Timothy, from the time he was little, there are three words in the Greek, and it's the word for the littlest child. From the time he was very young, he was made wise unto salvation. We need to see our need for Christ as our prophet. We need to see how desperately we need him, that we are having fellowship with him. We need to pray that the Lord Jesus would come to us as our prophet when we wake up to read our Bibles in the morning, or when we come to church to listen to preaching. We need to pray, "Lord, come to us, meet with us as our great prophet, as the great, greatest of all prophets, and bring your word as the spokesman from heaven to us." We have that promise in Isaiah 54:13, "And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children." All thy children shall be taught of the Lord. We need to see our need for Christ as our prophet. And we need to go to him to teach us. It's one thing to read with our mind shut off. It's like having the music on without listening to it. But we do that perhaps a lot. We need to be able to read with our mind wide open and with coming to the Lord saying, Lord Jesus, we're coming to you and you love us and you love to show yourself to us as our prophet. Come and teach me as I read your word. Help me to see it and to understand it. Bring it home with power. Apply it to my mind. Change me. Transform me. Make me into the mold of that word. The Bible tells us that Jesus is willing to do that. We're to believe the word as we hear it. And we're to walk in it by his grace. So we see this evening from the very beginning, the prophetic office of Jesus, when he spoke, and by the word of his power, he said, let there be all these things, and they came into existence. Right down to this very second, Jesus is still carrying forward this prophetic ministry where he brings home a word, his word, to our hearts powerfully as a spokesman from heaven. And Lord willing, next Wednesday we'll then go on to talk about, right, what is this prophetic work in more detail. We've seen that it's been throughout all of redemptive history. Now let's break down, what does the scripture say about how this office operates in terms of relationship to us? Let's stand together for prayer. Our Lord and our God, we are thankful that you have not caused the heavens to be dumb, to fall silent, and to be brass to us, but that you thunder your word, that you bring home the word to the quick, that you illuminate our minds, and that you enable us to grow in knowledge and in wisdom. Give us an appetite, O Lord, to learn from you. Make us not like our fathers in the Old Testament, whose hearts were hardened. Give us soft hearts, which are prepared to receive your word, and to love it and believe it and to do it. We cry out to you for your blessing in Jesus' name and for his sake.